But this was just the beginning of his analysis. Becker observed that people do acquire general human capital, but they often do so at their own expense rather than that of employers. This is true of university, when students take on debts to pay for education before entering the workforce. It is also true of workers in almost all industries. Interns, trainees, and junior employees share in the cost of getting them up to speed by being paid less. Becker made the assumption that people would be hard-headed in calculating how much to invest in their own human capital. They would compare expected future earnings from different career choices and consider the cost of acquiring the education to pursue these careers, including time spent in the classroom. He knew that reality was far messier, with decisions plagued by uncertainty and complicated motivations, but he described his model as an economic way of looking at life. His simplified assumptions about people being purposeful and rational in their decisions laid the groundwork for an elegant theory of human capital, which he expounded in several seminal articles and a book in the early 1960s. His theory helped explain why younger generations spent more time in schooling than older ones. Longer life expectancies raised the profitability of acquiring knowledge. It also helped explain the spread of education. Advances in technology made it more profitable to have skills, which in turn raised the demand for education. It showed that underinvestment in human capital was a constant risk. Young people can be short-sighted given the long payback period for education, and lenders are wary of supporting them because of their lack of collateral. Attributes such as knowledge always stay with the borrower, whereas a borrower's physical assets can be seized. It suggested that there was no fixed number of good jobs, but that highly paid work would increase as economies produced more skilled graduates who generated more innovation.